All right, we've proved that the U-meter works. We're interviewing Mr. Jack Armstrong this evening. Why don't you tell us briefly what you're trying to do on the air?
What I'm trying to do? Is that Willis saying I'm not succeeding?
No.
That's a hell of a question. What I'm trying to do...
You're trying, very trying.
I'm trying to do on the air is entertain myself for 5 hours so you keep them going totally nuts, I think, actually.
No, that's about what it comes down to, and that's really what it is. It's, you know, if you're not entertaining yourself, you can entertain anybody else, but I think basically it's entertainment, you know, and that's just whatever my philosophies are on entertainment at the moment that I'm doing it.
I've heard a rumor that you're not too fond of the Drake approach to radio. Is there any truth behind that rumor?
Well, I can't help it if Drake's a dumbass. I didn't teach him all those stupid things.
No, I think that Drake has some good ideas. And you can't discount everything he does, as much as I like to. However, there are some things he does that are good. I think he stumbled into them by mistake. There are a lot of things that he does that are absolutely ridiculous. He has a feeling in there that he wants to eliminate all of this phony sound or all of this bullshit, as he puts it, that a disc jockey might try to utter over the top of the record. And in the same breath, and yet in reality, he is very full of bullshit on the air himself, very plastic, for instance.
Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on.
That just, to me, that I'd rather hear a disc jockey expound on his child or his dog or something than to hear that. That's an insult on your intelligence. And that's a very basic thing that he mentions in broadcasting he doesn't want to do, is insult people's intelligence. Yet I think his whole approach is an insult on your intelligence.
At 93 KHJ.
If you're not doing anything right now with your boss index finger, you might put it there in your boss telephone dial and give me a boss call at Hollywood 1-93-53. 93
KHJ. I think there are two motives that people turn on the radio for. Music, that's the first and most important motive. All right, he got that far, but we all knew that all along. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't play any records. So, all right, music, and then he says, eliminate all irritants so that they can just, the music is it, period. I say, no, a good jock can be a reason that you stay to listening to a specific radio station, and or maybe even turn a radio station on to begin with if you hear a certain jock. And that, why throw away a tool, which is what he wants to do, throw away the jock tool, totally. I think slowly but surely his feelings are evolving towards personality radio. I think eventually he'll come around to that feeling. But again, he's not the originator of this philosophy. Gordon McClendon originated the philosophy.
The preceding was a KLIF editorial. The speaker was Gordon McClendon, president of KLIF and the McClendon Station.
Here's Michael O'Shea.
Shut the jock up, read the card, time and temperature radio. Gordon's been ahead of Drake for years.
That's Cracklin' Rosie. That's music from Neil Diamond at 23 before 6 now. The Michael O'Shea Show, 95 degree KLIF, Wednesday afternoon, September number 9. We're promising you fair and warm weather.
Mr. Gordon didn't realize what he had. I guess I thought he probably thought he was just being mean. And he'd come across as tremendous format. But as far as I'm concerned, I think personality radio is the only medium that is, or ever will be, the type of radio that the mass public can remember and stay with, and will continue to stay with for year after year.
What are your favorite Drake slogans?
Well, the beat goes on has got to be the big winner. That's unreal. They can't be gonna let us give up, but the beat goes on.
That's
that, and I think they're jingles, for instance. When I hear somebody say,
68 WRKO, I think, wow, now there is a perfect picture of the radio station
in music, right? Unreal.
68 WRKO.
The jingle singers say it, man.
68 WRKO.
I'm thinking the son of a bitch paid $8,000 for that. I'd go in the cellar with my grandmother and uncle who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket and do better than that. Damn. That is unreal. Oh, yeah. But that's brilliance in motion.
Yes, brilliance.
I used to make fun of Drake on the air, and I think that it began with what I was doing was actually acting as a catalyst on human nature, showing them how stupid what Drake was doing is, how really ridiculous it is. And,
hi, boss, this is your boss, Jock, on the radio.
I used to say, this is WMEX, the station that doesn't put underwear on the air. Because all they used to talk about was their boss jocks over at RKO. The only thing I could think of was a giant athletic supporter every time some bitch said the word jock.
Let it all hang out. How can I? I'm a boss jock. I'm supposed to hold it in.
What? What's somebody say on the car?
Well, my hit lines are lit up like a Christmas tree as the calls just keep coming in. And I'll open your present under that big tree and get that boss jock heavy hit on that you're asking for. If you call the Chubb hit lines now and they're wide open, the number is... I mean, you know, Jesus Christ.
How trite is that, you know? That goes back to the days of...
Hi there! You know, this is weirdo on the radio looking at you with the holes in the record. You know, I mean, it's just stupid. It's ridiculous.
But I can dig it. I can understand it because Drake's a frustrated jock. He was never worth a shit.
Bugging Around by Jackie Wilson, winding up the Bill Drake portion of Wake Weekend. Paul Drew standing by. Music continues right around until midnight. Stay tuned. Have a nice day.
An atrocious jock. Somebody has no confidence in disc jockeys. I can understand that. Because he was never any good at it. If he wasn't any good at it, none of them were. Damn it.
Which station do you think helped you most to develop your style?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really... My style developed over a long period of time. Various things I picked from various people and things I heard in disc jockeys that I liked and things I heard in disc jockeys that I didn't like that I automatically ruled out myself from ever doing. I did not like Joey Reynolds to open a microphone at KB and talk for 4 minutes. I did not like it. I thought the first time Joey would get to a funny line is where he should have got out. That was what I felt. That would be the 15 seconds in the bit Joey would get his first funny line. Then he'd talk a minute without anything funny, looking for another funny line, get that funny line, and then look for something to top. Joey's always trying to top himself. And I said, that's wrong. He should get out at the first funny line. Then it really would be funny. I listened to Biondi, and the thing I didn't like about Biondi was silly. But Biondi was faster than most guys. Biondi was not afraid
to take his voice and nasally the pure tea hell out of it. It's the Nick Biondi Show at WLS on top of spaghetti.
I mean, you know, he didn't give a damn about anything. That was beautiful. I liked it, but he made me nervous because he did too much of it. And it sounded like desperation. He was grasping for something. And there was too much of it. Didn't radiate enough confidence. It radiated a frantic, listen to me.
You like the Dick Biondi Show.
Oh, didn't it rain today, chillin', huh? Hi, this is Dick Biondi, so let's have fun.
So, what developed my style was, you can't always get what you want, you can usually get what you need. I had to do, combined with what I liked out of what I heard out of national radio stations at the time. I thought Brucey, although Brucey's voice, W, A, B, C, hello cousins out there in New Jersey. I thought that was just a little bit, that was silly to me. I thought he had a good idea. He had a good idea, but he'd gone to the point where he was just a little bit ridiculous.
If your motor's spinning, it's just the beginning.
Just a little bit, you know, just a little bit silly. The thought that ran through my mind was, people are low rent. Radio stations get to all the low rent people. So a bulk of our audience is, that's the best thing you can say about them. So I've got to have a gimmick that anybody can get to. Talking fast is a beautiful example.
Paul McCartney on the Jackson Armstrong Show, former exclusive at the Big 1280 Key Dog. Home of the Mystery House. Be thinking over the Mystery House is right in the postcard on the Key Dog to Big 1280. Sit to the Mystery House or where you think the Mystery House is located. And if you're right, if the earliest postmark postcard you win the 1970 Oldsmobile 350 were given away, the name of the song is Maybe I'm Amazed. It's new single, I understand.
Maybe I'm Amazed.
Anybody can get to it. Anybody can tell that you're talking faster than the normal human beings talk. Anybody can hear that in between every break in the record or whenever you decide to turn it on or turn it off.
Now, it's KY to the 11th power.
WKYC, Radio 11.
Hey, well, we're doing your homework problems. Hello, who's this?
Hi, Jack, this is Linda.
And what school do you go to, Linda?
West Tioga.
And you'll make dedications for whom?
Cleveland's best DJ, Big Jack.
Thank you.
The gorgeous gorilla. Dan and the old timer.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you. What record would you like to hear?
Never My Love.
Number one!
Number one song in the Assassin's Honor of a Survey, WKYZ. Here's the sound of the Association. 28 minutes after 9 o'clock. Still hold on to the number one spot. The name of the Diddy Daddy is never, well, hardly ever, my love.
A gorilla. Even if you don't understand it's a gorilla, it's a weird voice. It is unusual. It just drops out of nowhere.
14 degrees of KB country. Run now, right here.
Now radio comes alive. You're listening to the KB.
Have you got Perry?
Yeah, I got him.
Bring him out here, will you?
Okay, I got him.
All right, now, is he ready to sing?
What do you mean he's out cold as a mackerel?
Wait a minute. I think we've revived him temporarily. Hold him up
now. Keep the sun to leave the sky.
Again, something that low rent people can get to. You see what I'm saying? So that helped me develop my style. But most basically, it's what I wanted to hear through a radio speaker. That's what I developed into. It's what I liked at the time. And I think that good disc jockeys are made up of personal tastes and opinions. You know, in other words, they, if you don't have any taste or opinions, you're going to be a lousy jock, probably, because you'll mold into all the wrong facets. Have some kind of feeling about you, you know, definitely strong and positive and negative reactions in various places.
We wanted to ask the gorilla a question.
Nana, what do you want to hear, brother?
We want to know, what's it like to work with Jackson Armstrong?
He's all right, but he never feeds me. That dumb son of a bitch. I sit there at night, and I give him one-liners, and he forgets them, and he talks so goddamn fast, even I don't understand him. First time I ever heard that sumbitch cuss. Gorilla. Nana.
The gorilla doesn't give a damn about anything but banana juice, nano oil, broads, whiskey, wild women. It's the only thing. He's the real uncouth bastard that's in all of us, I think, and that's why it's so easy to relate to, you know. It's like somebody. What do you think of that?
What do I care? I don't care. You know, do it. Does it feel good? Do it twice.
Yeah, that's just let it out. You know, just let it all hang out. And he also gives me somebody to. The gorilla gives me somebody to intro my jokes with, or be the butt of my jokes, or somebody to say.
How'd they do that? Hey, there's somebody at the door.
Who is it?
It's the invisible man.
Tell him I can't see him. I mean, you know, he gives me somebody to work around. It's, to keep the voices happening, that gives you something to, and always a hatch, an escape hatch. You know, and he could be the engineer. He could, if there was a mistake, it was his fault. You know, he was slurping down some rotten banana juice and forgot to push a button, you know. Nana juice. But, yeah. And a lot of characters are fun anyway, because they give you, you know, like they give you another angle on yourself and on your show. The old timer. I don't use him too much anymore because of he slows me down because the old timer can't talk fast.
If the old timer's gonna talk, say he's got to whistle a bit when he talks, then he's got to be slow.
You know, he just goes old farts are slow, guy. I mean, you know, he just can't rumble through everything. It has to be. Realistic, you know, and to be an old man, it's really, really creeping along. Bowinkle's all right, but the only trouble with Bowinkle is that there's just so many bits you can do with a moose voice. I mean, you know, Bowinkle is carried off visually and audibly, and well, I don't have the visual end of Bowinkle, so every once in a while, I just do a little bit.
Hokey snuff, Bowinkle.
You know, I just do a just enough to let you know that there's. Something weird happening there, you know, something unusual within the set. That's, every once in a while, I'll sprinkle in a little something unusual. In fact, I have a philosophy, even if it doesn't make any sense, throw it in. Because it's like some of the songs, even if it doesn't make any sense, somebody will write some sense into it someplace. Plus the fact that it's weird. It is weird, man, and that's unusual. And I think that's what attracts people, the unusual, you know, the weird, the different. Especially when, as I say before, they'll get fed up with this plastic stuff. And they're going to get fed up with it. You know, there's just no way they're not going to get fed up with it. I think, I said this in Boston when I was working against Drake, and I say it again, the perfect format is controlled personality, but not through rules, but through individuals. personality, much more music is obviously the way to go. That's everything. That's the whole capsule. So you get yourself a funny jock, but you don't tell him he has to be funny in 5 seconds like Chum does. You tell him he can be as funny as he wants to be whenever he wants to be. Just, you know, try to keep the 2-minute bits down to one a day or something, you know, whenever there's no commercials or something. Just use your head, for Christ's sakes, besides something to hang your hat on or whatever, you know. Like the man who kept hearing music every time he put his hat on. So the doctor cured him. He took the band out of his hat. I mean, you know, little things.
Which station where are you, have you been like the freest at, you know, with the least controls on you?
Here.
KB?
KB is undoubtedly. I think actually there have been a couple. KY turned me loose. The only thing KY did was strangle my ass with news. Don't, you know, all right, stop. The UN just cut wind. We've got to go up there and cover it. I mean, you know, that's just, you couldn't get anything done, but, you know.
Well, how can you run a radio? NBC.
Yeah, that's NBC. They were full of shit. They knew it. I don't think they cared. I think they wanted to be number 5. In fact, I think it's why we all got fired, because we were becoming successful. From heavens to Murgatroyd, they're going to make money. Can't have that. So I would say KY. MEX turned me loose a great deal. Max never came in and said anything to me. When he did, I'd yell at him and he'd leave. And he'd yell at me too for a few minutes. But I was turned loose pretty much it. Wixie, we had triple plays and things. We were locked into them. Chum was ridiculous. I think that was the most stipulations ever put on me anywhere. POP, they turned me loose. No problems whatsoever. I think I was asked to do about 2 things within the format. The rest of it I didn't have to do. Everybody else had to do it but me. And that was kind of some kind of an honor, I guess.
Never heard anybody take a bath on the air before.
There's ridiculous. Something ridiculous done. There's ridiculous. Something ridiculous done.
What is that thing over there? What's that? It looks like it's... it must be an old tiny bathtub, right? I've heard about these things. I've never taken a bath. I always take a bath in the stream because I live in the woods. And I was, you know, I've always wanted to... You think anybody would... Probably nobody around, you know. They probably wouldn't care one way. You think they would... There's a bucket of water here. I'll just go ahead and, you know... Pardon me, guys. You ladies turn around and look the other way.
I've always wanted to do this. And the Petroni, you know, if he's got a bathtub and I'm leaving
and I'm going back to the woods,
I might as well put it to good use, right? Right.
Get in it. I have to find out whether the water's the right temperature or not. There's only one way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
I love it. I love it. Are we playing a record? Oh, something appropriate? I must be back on the road again, but it can't be. Yeah. All right, 68 goal. Well, I'll take a bath. I'll take a bath. It's a Saturday night, right? Everybody, all you humans take baths on Saturday night. I'll just take a bath right here in this tub while we play the music.
You know, I've never had a bath before in my entire life.
I just love it in here. It's really very nice because, you see, it's all nice and warm, and I'm in the Patron's office. You don't suppose the Patron's listening? No, the Patron wouldn't be listening. He wouldn't listen to me. He would get caught dead listening to me. Well, anyway, I'm going to be in here in this tub for the next, well, until it all drains out. You suppose you would drain out? There's only 4 buckets in here. This Patron's a lot smaller than I am, you see.
That's kind of hard to do with a sound effects record and no cartridges. It was all done with turntables. But, anyway... POP turned me loose. K-Talk turned me loose and then tightened the noose as the time went on.
They turned me loose, then they tightened the noose. We got the basis for our big rock song, the Disc Jockey Blues. How to get screwed in 3 easy lessons. Bring along a jar of Vaseline.
As a case study in how disc jockeys get screwed, could you, just briefly summarize the story about Chum?
J. Robert Wood called me when I was at MEX. I had a 3-year non-cancelable contract with Max Richmond that I signed under some duress. I wanted to sign a 1-year contract. I'd been there about 4 months. J. Robert Wood called me and said, send us an air check? I said, sure, but I'll send you an air check because that's fine. We'll make friends anyway. But I can't leave. He said, well, send me an air check anyway. Send him an air check, and the next thing you know, he calls me again. He wants me to talk to Larry Solways, the general manager, or in charge of programming, or whatever the hell his title was. So Larry calls me and talks to me on the phone for about 20 minutes or 25 minutes. We've got a great promotion coming up. Jack, we want you to fly up here and just do one night. That's all we want you to do. We're having disc jockeys from all over the country, from the United States and Canada, come up and do a Sunday night show. I said, oh, I can't beat that for Sunday night. I needed a bread. It was nice. I'd get to see Toronto, so I went. It was very simple. I would talk to the engineer about every break before we did it. We'd play the jingle, so I'd know what the jingle sounded like, and we just went into it cold, and as always said, go balls to the wall, just let it out. So I did for 6 hours. They didn't tell me it was going to be a six-hour shift. They told me it's been 6 hours for $100, and I told them to go to hell. That was 6 hours. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I worked from 6 p.m. to midnight. Well, Solway kept coming in and saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. So I do whatever he asked me.
Listen, I'm Jackson Armstrong. You say I've introduced myself before. I'm Jack Armstrong, your leader, and I'll be here till 12 midnight today. I'm on trial tonight. Am I being tried by one man? Good and true. And all the rest of the 11 of them are out to lunch. And actually, I was a little late tonight. I'm sorry I was here so late, but I cut myself shaving, and my legs are bleeding profusely. This went down at number 12 on the CHUM 50, baby. I want you to think just a little while.
Finished. So he says, hey, we got to go down the street and get something to eat. So we went down to the Greasy Spoon down in the corner, and he said, we want you to come work for us. I said, hey, wow, man. I told you before I came up here, I'm under contract. I can't break the contract. He says, our lawyers think that there's no way he can possibly sue you once you cross the Canadian line. I said, well, if that be the case, and we're talking down, then we're down to money, because I'll come, you know, if the money's right. And at the time, we were doing the CHUM 1050 Toronto, long jingles, Pam's beautiful jingles. They were putting Echo on the air for me, anything I wanted. So I said, beautiful. Well, I got up and went on the air on Chum, beautiful. I was up there and had everything I wanted. No problems. I was on the air for about a week and a half. They got an injunction against me. Max got an injunction against me. They took me off the air. I was off the air for a week, I guess. About a week. They smoothed it all out. Got the injunction canceled. They settled it out of court for $9,800, something like that. There's another. See, they had a real problem. They had a mill strike going on. So the rating services, the BBM's rating services, hadn't been taken in like 8 months, 8 or 9 months, because they're all done by mail. But the last rating showed them losing their butt. It was just a matter of an inch or two before CKFH caught them at night and several other time periods. Evidently, they took their own little coincidental and found out that they were really way down the road in a lot of places. So they decided they'd bring in Randall. They told me this. Now, Randall had tried to come into me. Max said, Max, if you hire Randall, you get your head up your ass. That's Drake against Drake. Because Max was doing the Drake against Drake when I got there. I changed it around. We had long talks about it. We changed it around. We went back and got Series 27, man. This is 68. We got Series 27 and stuck it back on the air. Chopped it up a bit. Jet set, tight, but personality.
Well, how about that? Yeah,
TGIM. I should have read that one over. Thank goodness it's fun with Sleeping 10 WMEN.
You overdressed your glasses.
When he should have around, was his teeth.
We dropped in on each other's shows. If you were in the building picking up your paycheck, you went in and did a bit with a jock on the air. So, and a bit that had a direction that ended up someplace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have groovy, groovy sounds for you. All the way on up until about like midnight tonight. And it's solid gold, everyone.
You don't have this radio program on the radio.
It's on the air. It really is. That was Mel Miller. He was only the Miller's son, but he made a lot of bread.
Okay.
It was funny. It was working. People were listening to it. It was really tight and really moving. And they were over there, and the beat goes on. It's all in your intelligence. And when Randall had come into, like I said, came into MEX, and Max threw him out on his ear. Forget it. You know, I'm not interested. So comes to Chum. Well, I don't know he's coming until he's hired. Randall came in, and we all met at Solway's house. Nobody knew why. There was a meeting at Solway's house. Randall was introduced to us, and he said, well, he said, and Solway big build up about how he expected us to do tremendous things. So Randall came out and said, now, gentlemen, basically this is what the format consists of. At the end of each record, you will have a period of time not to exceed 15 seconds in which you will do the time, in which you will say, when you do the time, chum, miss, whisper time, or whatever the contest is of the week, you will do the temperature, you will say the call letters, and it's over, you're in trouble. And he went on down and listed all the Drake rules. I let him get to the end, and he said, any questions? And I said, yeah, you're full of shit. And Solway fell out of his chair. I said, this is the biggest crock of crap I have ever heard in my life, and if you think I'm going to do it, you're full of shit. And you got your head up your ass. I just got through running Drake through the ringer in Boston, man, and I'm not going to turn around and do the Drake format for you. It's not Drake. I said, bullshit. You can talk them into that, man, but I come from down there. Don't tell me. I know what it is. I said, yeah, it's Drake. I said, when are you going to bring the cards in? After we get used to this first part of the format? So I just had a big blow-up with Randall right there, right in the middle of the house the first day he walked in. Big blow-up. So we couldn't believe it. McAdoy was laughing his ass off. He thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever heard in his life. Some of the others, and Jay Nelson was over there chewing on his cigar. Everybody was nervous, but McAdoy and me, I was laughing and mad at the same time. Same thing with McAdoy. It's really funny. McAdoy says, I ain't going to do it either. This crock of shit. We were really funny. We got back and forth talking. So finally I said, all right. So Solway says, well, I think the meeting is adjourned. I said, goddamn right, it's adjourned. I said, fucking A, it's adjourned. So I got up and I said, the jock meeting out on the sidewalk, 2 minutes from right now. So we all came out the door and we gathered around and I said, listen, boys, I'm going to tell you what this is because I've been down and I've seen it happen before. One of us here ain't a marked man. I said, it'll be a matter of time before they get rid of anybody here who's making more than 12 grand a year. They'll hire a kid off the street who thinks Toronto is the end of the earth, the best place in the world he could possibly go, and the whole thing, and they'll pay him 12 grand a year to say time and temperature, and you're gone. I said, they wouldn't bring this dude in here if they thought what we were doing now was right. They don't. So if they think what we're doing now is wrong, I mean, they think we're wrong. I said, so we got one thing to do. We all band together. We walk into Alan Waters' office tomorrow and say, it is him or us. All of us. I said, I'm going to do what the man says. I'm going to give him a try, and then maybe I'll think about it, but I'm going to give him. He walks off. So McAdory says, I think Jack's right. Bob Lane, who has always been, back in the corner, he said, no, I don't want to do it either. I'm with Jay. I don't think we should do anything. They implemented it. We did not get together. They implemented it. And as predicted, as the great sage predicted, we started disappearing. Bob McAdory was first. Randall came in and made some very stern suggestions to him, interrupting his show in person for about 3 days consecutively. That's all it took. McAdory quit. Goodbye. He left. They didn't get a chance to fire him. He quit. Well, anyway, sure enough, implementation, read the card, shut your mouth, begin to get stiffer and stiffer and stiffer, and I begin to get notes in my mailbox. You said it's 20 minutes after 10 on the Jack Armstrong show last night. It was funny, too. It was a plate last wind at the door, and I expected it to shatter, but it didn't. But the door came open real quick. I kicked it open with my foot, and I said, listen, you cocksucker, I've had the last of these I'm ever going to have from you. I wadded it up and threw it in his face. I said, if you send me another one of those, I'll come back and shove it down your throat. And that ain't a threat. That's a promise. And I turned around to Randall, and I said, as for you, listen, Bill. I used to call him Bill Drake. I said, as for you, Bill, you wouldn't know a great programmed radio station if it bit you in the ass. You know, and I can't take words and advice from beginners. Goodbye. Wham! Slammed the door. And I went in to do my show, mind you. They'd given me about three really bite-ass memos. Went to do my show. I did about 50 minutes of the show, and I picked up the phone, called his intercom number, and I said, J. Robert Wood, you've got 15 minutes to get a weekend man in here, or you got dead air. And I hung up the phone, and they had Hal Weaver in at about 30 minutes, which is, Wood came in and said, are you going to leave? I said, you fucking A, I'm going to leave. I'm sick, man. I get the same nervous condition I get every time somebody screws me. You know? So we had a big confab with Solway. Went into Solway's office. I drew up 10 points that I thought, Solway says, we can compromise. So 10 points I drew up that I thought I should have. I got one, they got nine. I said, compromise? Bullshit. So they said, are you going to do the format or not? As I got went to open the door. And I said, I have an answer for that. Something about where you can put the towers of your radio station. But I think it's intuitively obvious, gentlemen, and you knew it when you hired me, that I wouldn't do this type of thing. And take what course of action you deem necessary. And I left because I was not going to quit. If they fired me, they had to pay me 90-day salary. So they fired me. And then they asked me to work it. They gave me my 90-day notice, and then they asked me to work it. I said,
said, what kind of bunch of clowns? I said, this is unreal. You know, all you guys need is a man.
Hired me that I wouldn't do this type of thing. And take what course of action you deem necessary, and I left because I was not going to quit. If they fired me, they had to pay me 90-day salary. So they fired me. And then they asked me to work it. They gave me my 90-day notice, and then they asked me to work it. I said,
what kind of bunch of clowns? I said, this is unreal. You know, all you guys need is a mask and a goddamn gun. Go down the street and hold people up on the street. You make more money than what you're doing now. I couldn't believe it. What a bunch of bandits. I said, you scream me to the wall and you want me to work my goddamn notice. You full of shit. So I went on the air and played with a record. Let it come to a complete halt along with the scratches. Oh, the microphone control
degrees. This is your chumless whisper disc jockey.
Boom, and I play a jingle. The jingle would end dead silence. Boom, I play a commercial. The commercial would end dead silence at least 3 or 4 seconds. Then I start the record uncued. Boom. So it took Solway got home. From the time I left the radio station till he got home, he called up. He says, not feeling well, huh? I said, like I said, Larry, when people fuck me, this nervous condition of mine acts up and my timing just goes to hell. He said, okay, I'm sending some relief in for you. I said, oh, heavens, please hurry, I may faint. So he got the relief in for me, and the next day he called me up. He said, are you going to be able to work your show? I said, Larry, use your head, not your
mind. Now you want me to work my service. I said, you're out of your mind.
So he said, all right, but we won't pay it to you in a lump sum. You get paid every 2 weeks, and if you get a job in the interim, we stop. I said, you stop and you get sued. Believe it. So we had a nice little verbal conflict. I hung up the phone. I got my paycheck every 2 weeks thereafter. But that was a prime example of getting it right in the ass.
Now, I want to know.